Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Wednesday Conversation. I'm Bethany Gilbert, and I'm here with Pastor Bob Thune and Pastor Dusty White of Coram Deo Church, and Pastor Chris Hemmelman of First City Church. Every Wednesday, we sit down to talk about how the gospel of Jesus Christ connects to the questions and issues of everyday life, and today we're talking about Meta Church. I don't know if that's how
That was awesome. I told Bethany I wanted her to say that the way she thinks Mark Zuckerberg would say it if he was saying Meta Church.
Meta. I don't know.
That's what we're talking about. But first.
Snacks.
Celebration of snacks.
I'm just over here eating.
Thank you to listener Derek Metchke, D-Metch from Capitol Hill neighborhood in Seattle.
Probably one of the longest time listeners.
Yeah, he might have been listening since the very first episode. Hey. Damn. This guy sent us, so Derek was a part of the Coram Deo core team that planted this church 16 years ago, and then later in life, he moved out to Seattle. He is now a doctor living there with his wife and children, and he sent us hotcakes. Bethany, how do you even describe, when I say hotcakes, the listeners are thinking, oh, you guys are eating pancakes right now?
Oh, hotcakes.
Which wouldn't be bad.
I call Chris hotcakes.
No, these are apparently like a Seattle thing.
Yes, they're like molten lava cakes.
Yeah, they're like a molten cake battered dark chocolate thing.
Yeah, these might be the best snacks we've had to date. They're so good.
It's basically like, think about a little tiny mason jar with a cake inside. And
Warm it up in the oven.
Apparently you warm it up in the oven, which Bethany just did for us as our preparation for the podcast while we were doing our reading and
Very
prep.
Very kind of you.
Didn't do any other prep.
And now we eat them. So thank you, Derek, for thinking of us and for sending us hotcakes from Seattle. Let me just commend to our listeners. Apparently, I'm sure you can order these online.
Yeah, right? I think that's where, you can order them online.
Hot cakes. They're gluten-free, dairy-free.
They are?
Yeah.
This is even healthy.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing.
Okay. Man.
Feel less guilty about stuffing my face with these.
They're not
three more.
They're not vegan because they do have eggs, but they're gluten-free.
Protein. Eggs are protein, Bob.
That's right. So this is a good snack day on the podcast. And actually, there's 8 cakes here, and there's only 4 of us, which means,
so do the,
means the ratios are working out well. In fact, I want you to hand me one of those ones over there, Dusty. I'm going to go ahead and hit that up.
You're
so polite. He handed me the whole plate like we're at Thanksgiving dinner.
Well, I mean, these things are fancy. This feels fancy.
I don't want to touch it, Bob. Here's the whole plate.
Also, Chris noted that the hotcakes has a field guide.
It has a field guide. I mean,
it does. And it's so helpful. Their branding's great. Like, honestly. 10 out of 10 would recommend. Order some today.
Yeah, it's obviously a Seattle company. Seattle's a very cool place. This is a very cool snack. Man. This is not your average.
Perfect to be talking about a cool topic like Meta.
Hey, so.
Meta cakes.
See you later, Facebook. You don't exist anymore. As we all know, now Facebook has become Meta. And that announcement, I don't know if you guys, so I did not pay any attention to this, but I do, as I've mentioned in the past, I use Twitter as a news feed, and so I check Twitter every day and just try to keep up on what's going on in the world. And, man, Twitter was having a lot of fun with Zuckerberg's announcement where he, like, was living in a virtual world and, like, putting on his virtual avatar, and they were like, this is weird. And anyway, if you haven't been following the news, Facebook is now Meta, and what Facebook announced last week is that their plan is basically to create the metaverse. In case you're wondering, what is a metaverse? Well, excellent question. I'm reading here from a Gospel Coalition article released on November 2nd, 2021. Here's the best description. The metaverse is not a digital world. It's a digital world of worlds, through which people can travel. So here's how I understand it, and I think this is a very accurate understanding. I can enter the metaverse. This is virtual reality based, so I put on my virtual reality headset. I can enter the metaverse in my house. Dusty can be sitting in his house, and Chris can be sitting in his house. We can all enter the metaverse together and go to the same place where we can virtually meet up, even though that we're physically in different places. Am I right?
It sounds like the Matrix.
Right. It's basically the Matrix coming to life in real life.
Without the thing in the back of your head, though, and not being a human battery.
Yeah, and you're not like living in a bucket of goo. but yes, I think that's, so the idea is that It's taking what we currently know of virtual reality and augmented reality and putting that kind of on steroids, where you basically have like a permanent identity in this digital world. And so imagine there are some interesting possibilities here. Imagine the ability to meet up with people and have meetings that feel almost live with people who are all across the globe. So instead of doing a Zoom call where you're two-dimensional on a screen, you're now in an immersive meeting where you can actually see these people virtually or see their avatar, as the case may be. Dusty, is your avatar going to have a beard?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be like the best version of you.
And maybe some like braids.
I think my avatar is going to have a little larger biceps, probably. Be a little more fashionable.
Like a 10-pack.
Yeah, it'll dress a little better.
You thought Instagram was bad.
Yeah, exactly.
Game changer.
Whatever I want to be in the virtual world is what I'm going to be. Here's why we want to talk about this on the podcast, because I think this has serious implications for the church. In what we know about Facebook as one of the most dominant media companies in the world and one of the most dominant capitalist industries in the world, they are going to go at this with all of their money and influence and time, and so it's going to happen. They're going to build this. It's only a matter of time. In fact, this article says it's 5 to 10 years away. So what that means is within the next decade, the church is going to have to ask questions like, what does it mean to be a church in the metaverse? Or should that even be a thing? So the real change, says this article, will transform our mental, spiritual, and ecclesial landscapes. And I think that is true. Before we turn on the mics, here's what I was telling Chris. I said, Chris, 10 years from now, when the next pandemic happens, and everybody's locked in their houses, and someone's sick, and they want you to visit them and pray with them, but you can't go to their house physically because it's not safe, here's what's going to happen. You're going to put on your virtual reality suit. They're going to put on their virtual reality suit. You're going to be able to meet up with them in the metaverse in a park somewhere with really beautiful surroundings that look a lot like the real world. And when you reach out virtually and grab their arm, the pressure of their virtual reality suit is going to feel like a hand is actually grabbing their arm. And so you're going to basically lay hands on them and pray for them virtually, even though you're nowhere near them physically. That's the kind of thing that's going to be happening.
I mean, you might do that. This is crazy.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Is that this is going to become normal. This is what people are going to be. Instead of spending $1,000 on the new iPhone, you're going to spend $1,000 on a virtual reality suit because that's just what people will do. It's like, well, yeah, why would, I mean, you need the best virtual reality suit you can so you can enjoy the metaverse. So I'm saying that to say that there may be some, like I imagine, for instance, I just had a Zoom call last week with a church planting friend who lives in South Africa. I imagine it'd be more fun to do that virtually where it feels like, oh, we can actually like sit down and it can feel a little more like we're in the same place. There might be benefits to that that I would appreciate more than just staring at a screen. But here is where this is going to get messy for the church. So if you thought the Rise and Fall of Mars Hill podcast was bad, if you thought Mark Driscoll's vision of having 50 churches and 50,000 people and dominating the universe was maybe a little bit gargantuan and unhelpful, think about what Hillsong Meta is going to look like, where now human beings all over the earth can meet up for church in the metaverse and literally attend the same church, even though they're not literally attending any church. They're sitting in their living room with a virtual reality headset, experiencing the experience of being together at church, even though it's only virtual. And I think that's going to change. I mean, if we thought that streaming, podcasting, live stream church, if we thought that was a challenging reality to navigate these past few years, I don't think it compares at all to the questions the church is going to have to face. When the question is, Chris, can't we just have First City Meta? Do we really have to come to church, or can we just meet up virtually, bro?
Or in Fortnite, I mean, one of the examples he gives in the article is Travis Scott, who some of you might know who that is. For some reason, I do know who he is. Well, there's no reason I should. It's just all the useless information in my head. Put on a concert recently within Fortnite, this game that people play online, and there were more than 30 million people who participated in this concert, which is more than watch the Super Bowl halftime show. So it's there's going to be multiple angles of how you can participate in the metaverse. I mean, there were things on, he was listening to this article. I didn't even understand what that is. I'm still trying to catch up with what Bitcoin is. So there's a lot of things in this new world that I don't understand. But this is the scary part of this is, like you gave the example of meeting with a friend on Zoom, someone in South Africa, and that's a great outlet. And you're like, hey, that was great to be able to see face-to-face, but you weren't ever under the impression that that was sufficient or that that is somehow could replace the joy of being in someone's presence. You're not going to overstate what that is and what that accomplishes, where with this meta, it's not going to just be this sense of, you know, we could do this one thing this one time at a superficial level. We're actually going to be replacing the depth, replacing the substance with this thing rather than seeing its limitations. And that's what's scary.
I have an article that I'm trying to find right now using my digital device with its search features. It's from 2009, which was the year that James Cameron's movie Avatar came out. And if you remember Avatar, James Cameron is a very creative filmmaker, and it was sort of this immersive experience of this other world. And there was an article in a major news publication that came out a month or two after that movie came out. And what the article recorded is that people were experiencing depression after seeing the movie because they were so compelled by that non-existent world. They felt like they so much wanted to live in that world. And then the movie ended and they realized the world they really did live in. And it was depressive to them that they lived in this actual world. And I clipped that article because I was like, well, that's weird. And then, like, here we are 11 years later, and we're realizing, hey, that's actually going to be a possibility. And I guarantee you that one of the solutions to mental illness or to depression is going to be, hey, just spend more time in the virtual world. Like, if the real world makes you sad, you need to escape it. And so go find the place that makes you happy. So I just think you're gonna have a ton of pressure from society and from companies like Meta to say, hey, this is the solution to our problems. This is the answer to our loneliness. This is a way to have deeper connection and for technology to be our savior and to solve some of the ills that we face.
Yeah, and what's sad about that is it's a gross misunderstanding of with mental health, sorry. I mean, that was a piece because one of the examples in the article of apparently there's a show on Fox called Alter Ego, where people who have musical talent, singing ability, but have maybe some social anxiety, and they can perform with these avatars rather than in person. And on the surface, you're like, oh, that's great. These people are getting to actually use their talents and kind of express themselves in that way. But when you take a step back and realize, but that actually doesn't help them, that you know, taking into consideration all the nuance that is needed to care for someone with mental illness, the very thing they need is actually learning how to live an embodied experience in embodied community. That's actually the thing that they most need to help them work through mental health and to be able to experience a healthy life while carrying that brokenness in their body. But this pushes them deeper away from the things that they need. And so when I read that, man, it's like, gosh, this is actually going to set people up for even worse condition.
Absolutely.
And that's a scary thing because we think it's actually good, but it's actually making things worse.
After I read this article, I wrote down three words: church, depression, and identity.
Yeah.
Because those are the main things that I think, to your guys' point here on depression and mental health, is going to be the thing. It's going to enhance and compound depression and anxiety. And I think the church, I've said this before, we've said this before on this podcast multiple times, but just the church coming together in embodied souls is going to be the missional thing.
Yeah. I just want you guys to know I found the article.
Attaboy.
Thanks to Evernote. Audiences experience Avatar blues from CNN. Here's the lead paragraph. James Cameron's completely immersive spectacle Avatar may have been a little too real for some fans who say they have experienced depression and suicidal thoughts after seeing the film because they long to enjoy the beauty of the alien world, Pandora. And it goes on to chronicle and talk about some of these people and interview them and ask about their experiences. I just mainly feel great that I found the article.
Yeah, good job.
That's all. Good job. Yeah. Guys, I found it. I love when I'm like, where is that? Oh, I found it.
So So Bob, as you think, so that example you gave of touching someone through the virtual suit and you feel the sensation, and this, pardon me if this is, feels like a little bit of an abstract question, but I think it's worth considering. Why is that insufficient? Why is the pressure of a VR suit not the same as the actual physical touch of a person?
Well, in a minute, I'm going to make you answer your own question. But first, I just want to say, I think this is the challenge with any technology, is there's always goods and evils with it, right? Like, we're not trying to say, hey, the possibility of a virtual world is entirely bad. I think with every technological innovation, there's, of course, ways it can be used for good and ways it can be used for harm. And the challenge for Christian ethics is understand the difference between the two. Which, where should we lean into this technology and enjoy it? Where do we need to resist this? And what's funny is, it's Facebook that's announcing this after we have just done some podcasts last month on the harms of social media and especially Instagram, and realizing there's an example of where we leaned into a technology maybe too far, and now people are starting to go, oh man, this has some really deleterious effects on human beings. So I think the challenge of this virtual world, the metaverse, is going to be the same. There's going to be some ways where, so I guess what I'm saying, Chris, is I actually think in the situation in the example I gave, it might be better than nothing, right? Like the capacity for me as a pastor to virtually visit someone who's in lockdown or who's in a ward where they won't let physical visitors come in, and for them to experience that in some kind of way that feels bodily, maybe that's a good. Maybe that's better than just a phone call.
Yeah.
It's not the same as someone actually being with me in an embodied way. But I'm going to make you answer your own question. Cause when you ask, well, why is it not the same? I'm like, well, cause it's not a human, but it is the same sensation, right? If my virtual reality suit is grabbing my arm in the same place where your virtual hand is touching it, certainly feels pretty close to you being there.
Yeah.
So what's your answer to your question?
I'll answer your question. It's a really black and white answer, but similar to Bob's. I would just say, cause it's not real. And so,
yeah.
While it might be better than nothing, I would actually say it might just make everything that is real more diminished and shallow. And so I think this is where Christians are going to have to just really resist a lot of digital advancement with wisdom.
Yeah, to maybe insert a little bit of theology, philosophy in this too. This is a level, it potentially could become a level of Gnosticism that the Gnostics, 2,000 years ago, never even envisioned. Where, I mean, the essence of Gnosticism is that the spiritual immaterial is either better or sufficient, and the material doesn't matter. And so if you think of, hey, the actual physical being, a human being touching me, actually doing that, not the sensation that's created through digital technology, which is not the same thing, is sufficient or even better than someone actually being there and present, We've essentially said the not real is just as good as the real.
Man.
And so then what's the point of the incarnation?
Yeah, that's the big question.
Yeah. Like we sort of begin to miss the fact that it actually mattered. Jesus came physically. Like this matters. It wasn't God. Could God have accomplished salvation without the incarnation? And if you answer to say yes, I mean, I guess you could be speculative. But there seems to be something that the answer to that question is actually no.
So let me spin that a different way for you for a minute. What you just said made me realize this, that I think this, the metaverse, is an interesting attempt to mimic the incarnation.
Mm.
Because what it is it's technology trying to be our savior. In realizing that to really transport us to a different kind of reality, it needs to have a simulacra of embodiedness. It needs to feel immersive. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting to me that this is actually what seems to be happening here, is that the number one idol in our day and age, which is technology. Well, I mean, the fundamental belief that most humans in our day and age have is just give us more time and we'll advance technologically to where we can heal all ills, solve all problems, overcome all challenges, limitations. Technology is the answer. And it's interesting that the metaverse is basically an attempt by technology to do the incarnation, to become embodied, even though it's not true embodiment.
Yeah. What's also sad and scary in this too, I think for Christians, is if we buy into this idea that we can sort of construct these digital selves, these avatars, these better versions of ourselves, that does some pretty big violence to this whole our whole sense of sanctification and union with Christ. And there's also the sense of Jesus didn't die for your avatar. You know, if you want to kind of put it crassly.
Okay.
That's a good quote.
Yeah.
But so.
Tweet that. Just Chris. If you had Twitter, you could have tweeted that.
I could have tweeted that. Yeah. I spent a lot of time thinking about that one. But that if we're living in this digital world and focusing on creating these digital versions of ourselves, what does that say about how we're viewing our sanctification in the real world and how we're viewing our own embodied and our hope we have for resurrection and all of the things that our embodied existence means if we're focused over here? In some ways, we're detaching ourselves from actually what it means to live united with Christ.
Let me read from this TGC article. These authors lay out three implications here, three places where we as Christians need to emphasize and lean into biblical realities, and they give three categories: the givenness of identity in a customized world, which gets to what you just said, Chris, the reality that we already have a God-given identity, we don't need to create one for ourselves. Second, the goodness of creation in a disembodied world, which I think is the most complicated one that we'll need to come back to. And then limits as grace in a limitless world. So they're saying these are three. If you're thinking about where does the gospel apply to this, the gospel says we have an identity that is given, not one that we create for ourselves. The gospel says God created this world and called it good, and therefore the real world that exists and that shows us the glory of God is better than a disembodied virtual world. And third, the gospel tells us we have limits. We are finite, we are fallen, we are human, God is not, and limits are grace. One of the gracious things God invites us to do is to embrace our humanity and our limitation and our finiteness, and that in fact, unless we do that, we can't experience communion with him as the divine creator. The metaverse pushes against all of those things. It pushes us to have a self-created customized identity. Like I said, I could have awesome biceps and a 10-pack and amazing fashion in the virtual world, even if that's not how I am in the real world. Second, it's trying to convince us that a disembodied world or a simulated world is better than the real world. And for many people, it will feel better because it's the manifestations of the fall are not going to be as clear in a manufactured world. And I think that's the one. Here's the line in the article that stood out to me. It will be easy to begin to see the infinite possibilities of our virtual world and bodies as better and more real than the physical world. I mean, think about this, right? I mean, we joked a few weeks or months ago on the podcast about aging and the reality of, like, we're getting older. Well, man, how awesome will it be to just have a body in the virtual world that actually never gets older, even though your real body does? It's hard not to want to imagine, like, why would I not want to live in a world where I'm always 25 and never getting a year older?
I'm going to be 30 forever.
Yeah. It's amazing.
I mean, you already are.
Or 19. Were you 19? I thought you were 19 on the podcast.
Yes.
A couple weeks ago, she was 19. Yeah.
Man, you've grown a lot these last few weeks. You've aged considerably. So I think it is a challenge to think about, for the sake of evangelism and discipleship, how difficult it's going to be to call people. I mean, I think this will not work. It'll cave in on itself. But I think for a season of time, telling people, hey, man, the physical real world is better than the virtual world, I think there are people who will say, no, it's not. No, it's not. I'd rather live in the metaverse, man. My life is kind of depressing and discouraging, and I can escape to this metaverse and be who I want to be and interact with people that I like and not have to live next to my neighbor who bugs me. What's not to like about that?
I really love the fact that out of these three elements, they landed on limits. We've talked about limits before, trying to embrace our limitation, but I just love the fact that out of three things, they landed on limits as grace in a limitless world. It made me think about, when you were talking, Bob, about older people and dying. It made me think about during COVID, during lockdown, COVID, that kind of COVID, when people died, it was just like, there was no funeral.
Yeah.
And then you would think we would do that later. A lot of people didn't even do that. And so older people and the older generations are already being displaced, and we're already trying to forget about death. What's going to happen in my, I'm even if I live in this meta world, I'm still going to actually die. What's the meta world going to even do with that? They're probably just going to forget about it because they're not going to want to deal with my emotions anyway.
Yeah.
They're not going to want to deal with loss.
Yeah.
So we're already bad at that. We're already bad at dealing with death. And this is not going to help. This is going to compound that problem.
I'm increasingly convinced that one of the ways that the church is going to have a voice in our culture or influence is when all this stuff comes crashing down to some degree, we're going to have to teach people what it means to be human again and the opportunities there of limitations of what it means to be male and female, what it means to be embodied, like these fundamental aspects of being made in the image of God, living in this world that are gifts to us and are beautiful when we lean into it, we're separating ourselves from. And so where are people going to go to learn that again, if not the church?
Okay, so let me connect some dots that I think are going to trouble you. We did an episode 2 months ago on the deal that Facebook was making with churches like Hillsong to go exclusively on Facebook as their online platform, right? So think about the fact that that's already happened. There are already churches who have signed contracts and deals with Facebook to only stream through Facebook and to have Facebook be basically their virtual platform for their church. That is just an entry point to Meta, the metaverse, being a place where church gathers. So here's what's going to happen within the next 10 years. There are going to be churches in your city that have a meta campus, a metaverse campus. You thought having an online campus was, or streaming online was a challenge. Churches are going to have metaverse services where it's like, you can come to our 9 o'clock or our 11 o'clock in person, or you can come to our metaverse service at 6 p.m. and you don't have to leave your house. And that's going to feel even better than watching a live stream because it's going to feel more immersive. It's going to feel kind of like you're in the room, like that Travis Scott concert that you were talking about, Chris. Churches in America are absolutely going to do this. And I want to rebuke every pastor listening to this podcast who thinks you should do that. And I want to tell you, do not ever have a metaverse campus. You should not have a metaverse service. You should not have a meta campus. If you think you should, we need to have a conversation about the incarnation. Okay. But I guarantee churches everywhere will do this, and this will become the next kind of arms race in the church is how cool of a meta experience do you have? Do you have a metaverse pastor? Do you have a metaverse staff member on your staff? Do you have a metaverse worship team? I promise you that will happen. And I think this is one place where Christians need to get ahead of that and say, nope, in this moment, we need to fight for embodiment. We need to fight for actually being present. We need to fight for the importance of physical place and location and being in an actual room in our embodied state together. I think the reasoning here, and this is where we get into all kinds of categories philosophically, but the reasons that will be put forward will be evangelistic reasons. Hey, man, think about how many more people we can reach if we have a metaverse service. We're trying to reach the city with the gospel. And so why wouldn't we have a metaverse service? Everybody's in the metaverse. Your neighbors are in the metaverse. If we're in there, we have a chance to reach them. That's going to be the justification for creating metaverse church services. And any church that's like, yeah, we don't do that, is we're like, dude, you guys are kind of backwards. You're like 1950s fundamentalist weirdos. Why would you not have a metaverse service? Answer, because we believe in the incarnation. Because we believe the church is the gathering ecclesia of the people of God. This is where things are headed, Chris.
Yeah.
It's interesting because when we talk about theology with people, we talk about being created in the image of God. And it's kind of like, it's always, at least it seems like, usually that conversation's like, yeah, keep going. You're like, okay, image of God, got it. Now what? You know, like, get me to sovereignty or get me to, what's the next theological topic? Now we're actually going to go, hey, you're creating the image of God. Period. Let's talk.
Yeah. Yeah. And even to your point, Bob, you think about, okay, the evangelistic piece, but our goal is not just to share the gospel, it's to make disciples. And if you're not making disciples in an embodied biblical way, then I mean, you're what's the point?
So you're telling me, Chris, that if someone is going to a heretical church, you wouldn't rather have them going to a gospel preaching metaverse church?
Wow.
Like, I agree with you that for them to truly become a disciple, there's going to need to be some embodiedness, but let's start with let's just reach them with the gospel in the metaverse. Let's start there, man.
I guess, you know, if you're going to compare two bad things, I mean,
I'm just telling you, this is the argumentation you're going to hear. You're going to have another Mark Driscoll come along who's theologically orthodox and preaching the gospel that we like, but they're going to be trying to build a huge metaverse world campus. And the justification is going to be, I'm reaching people with the gospel. I'm preaching the truth. Would you rather have people go down the street to a heretical church that's not preaching the truth, or would you rather have them reached in the metaverse? And that's going to be the this is how American evangelicals justify whatever they want to do is to say, we're going to reach more people with the gospel. We should do this.
Yeah, but you're not going to be able to preach the true gospel if you're not talking about the image of God and worship.
Also would say, I don't want to be you standing before the Lord.
Ooh.
When he asks, hey, how are you faithfully shepherding my church?
Oh, okay.
So there's always that thing too. I'm like, okay, yeah, you can throw that argument.
There's always that.
Wouldn't you rather, you know, we reach him? I'm like, wouldn't you rather stand before the Lord
okay,
and have
Chris,
him say faithful?
You're going Judgment Day on us.
I well, don't know.
Hey, I'm just, the reason
I agree with you. Yeah, I agree with
know
what
you
you're
do.
Saying. Yeah.
I want our listeners to realize this is the logic you're going to start to hear within 5 to 10 years from churches. You're going to have churches moving this direction, and there's going to be all kinds of evangelistic justification because this is what Americans do. And this is why we're going to need to have, so here's the analogy I would make. It's just like in the current debates about gender and identity and, you know, transgenderism and all that stuff. Everybody's looking back and like, well, no creed or confession has ever found gender important enough to enshrine it. It's not in the Nicene Creed or in the Apostles' Creed. So why didn't, for years of church history, why didn't anybody think this was a top shelf issue if it is? If you're telling me it's a top shelf theological issue, why hasn't it ever been pointed to by the church? And the answer is, because it was never questioned by humanity, right? And I think you're going to have the same thing here where what I'm saying is there's going to be new theological work that needs to be done, mm-hmm. especially in American evangelicalism, because the justification of we can reach more people through the metaverse is going to need to be challenged by robust, theological, thoughtful reasoning to say, yes, you could do that, but here's why it's not what you should do. And that's going to be work that I think the listeners of this podcast perhaps need to be some of the first to do is just, hey, I want you to think about this for yourself. If your friend sitting next to you in church or your neighbor or your family member said, hey, my church is doing this metaverse service. I want you to come check it out. What are you going to say? And if you're going to say, no, I'm not into that, what's your reasoning? Why are you going to say, nope, I'm going to go to the church where I actually show up in person instead of the church that I can go to in the metaverse in my pajamas? Why? Because I think we're going to need to do better thought work here in order to counter the reasoning that's going to be out there.
Because you can't take the Lord's Supper in the metaverse.
Ooh,
yes, that's no. what I was just going to say.
You
I was
go.
Like, can you eat anything in
no.
there? Because that ruins it for me
only
pretty
good
much
food.
Immediately.
Right there.
Only
listen,
good
food. That alone right there.
Listen, I watched a pastor on a live stream say, hey, go to your kitchen, get out a loaf of bread. Let's all take it together. Go to your kitchen, pour yourself a cup of juice. I watched someone do this on a live stream. So I'm just saying,
you're right, Chris,
but there are weird ways people will get around this.
Do it whenever you want.
Yeah.
I mean, you can just go dial up to church right now.
There's probably going to be a 24/7 like IHOP style metaverse where it's like whenever you want to go there, they're having a service. It's live all the time.
Yeah.
I love this line right here. The church may be the last place that accepts you as you're made, not as you're projected. Mm. That's a really good line in this article because it's just getting back to the questions of who am I? Where am I at? And what is God up to? And it's going to come down to like, I'm still at the end of the day, metaverse or not, I still need somebody to answer for me those questions. And it's going to be in the church.
Yeah. And I think this is important too. Something to consider. If you look at the like, whether it be fiction or nonfiction, you look at our movies, TV shows, like anything sort of cultural creation.
I knew you were going to go here.
Yeah. About this kind of technology. It never ends well.
It's never a happy ending.
It's never
guys.
Celebrated. It always ends in this weird dystopian. I mean, even in the movie
WandaVision.
Avatar.
Even WandaVision.
Yeah. Well, even in the movie Avatar, how does the movie end?
Sorry if you haven't seen it.
The character who is in this avatar, eventually his soul sort of melds with and becomes the thing that he is an avatar. So he stops being human and becomes this alien. And that's better that he becomes this actual alien rather than living in this avatar. And so here's to your point, Dusty, this is what made me say this, is that our design is to be embodied. And when we move away from that, it's going to crash and burn at some point. And people who are going to be hollowed out or whatever the effect is of the metaverse are going to need to go somewhere again to learn to be human.
Yeah, that's
good. To be received as a human.
You're right. It's just going to be 20 years from now.
Oh, yeah. 10. It's going to be
for the first decade of this, churches are going to be all in 100 miles an hour. And they're going to be like, oh, crap, we shouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to tell you, listen to this podcast first and don't do it. And then you won't have to apologize for doing it.
Little prophetic podcast here.
Yeah. They're going to say like, Chris is still making us bring our paper Bibles.
Seriously.
Come on.
And we all got to show up at the same time.
I know. So weird.
So old school.
So listen, maybe this podcast feels a little bit projecting futuristic to you. Like we're trying to tell you what things are going to be like in 10 years. I feel that way. I feel like, man, I'm not usually the kind of person who's like, here's what's going to be like in 10 years, you guys. But reading this article makes me go, no, Mark Zuckerberg and his billions of dollars and his thousands of designers are going to make this happen. So this is where the world is going, and I think the church needs to get ahead of it. It's if I felt like this was like, you know, maybe or maybe not, this is where things are headed, the podcast would feel a little different. But there is zero doubt to me that this is where technology is taking us and that it's clear that they're going to succeed in building this world and that it will have a lot of positive effects. There will be a lot of reasons why this metaverse is going to be fruitful and useful for human beings in certain ways. But it will be, as we've seen with social media, another thing that everybody will immediately jump into because of its novelty, and where Christians are going to need to thoughtfully and wisely understand what does it mean to not let this shape our view of the church, and what does it mean to have a realistic, biblical, gospel-driven, ethical perspective on the metaverse. So I hope this podcast helps get that conversation started, at least in your mind and among your friends. The article we've been referencing is called How to Prepare for the Metaverse, November 2nd, 2021. You can find it at the Gospel Coalition, and it's by Ian Harbour and Patrick Miller. And I'm sure we'll tackle this subject in some other ways a few years from now when there actually is a metaverse.
Last time.
We'll be doing the Metaverse podcast. You'll be at your house, Dusty.
Yeah.
With a microphone, I'll be at my house, but we'll feel like we're sitting around this table.
Yeah, we can pick whatever finish cakes on the table
eating
we want.
Virtual lava cakes.
Virtual lava cakes, which hot won't cakes taste as good as the
that's
real ones.
That's going to be rough because these are good.
The goal of this podcast is to equip our own church for discipleship and mission. So if you're a Christian or a church leader in another context, we thank you for listening in, and we pray that this conversation might be helpful to you as you minister in your context. We always love to hear from listeners, so if you have thoughts, questions, or future podcast topics, send an email to podcast@cdomaha.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next Wednesday for another episode of the Wednesday Conversation.